Okay, so certainly there are many things that can actually hinder our growth as a Christian. Our growth can certainly be hindered by worldly ways that we ourselves fail to put away. God's word provides us with many examples and analogies of growth and development, and it also provides us feedback on how this growth and development can be hindered. And Peter epistle to these Christians over in Asia Minor, these Christians themselves find themselves dealing with again, a lot of persecution and many other things. And again, when you begin to think about it, they were just like us, certainly hampered by persecution, and then at the same time, still facing the temptation to sin and to fall back into those old ways. These Christians themselves, again, just like us, also possess a varying degree of maturity, just like we today as Christians, as a collective body of Christians, we possess varying levels of maturity in Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Peter. We're going to actually go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 22 to 25. And can I get a volunteer for those verses?
Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
Thank you. And certainly when you begin to, even as you reflect back on these words, think about the fact that each and every one of us became a Christian for a reason. There was something about the gospel that attracted us to it. And the simple fact is we made that decision in our lives to become Christians. Now, again, in becoming a Christian, upon being baptized into the body of Christ, again, we still all have that responsibility to grow and develop in Christ. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 13 here first. And again, the point that I want to make here is the fact that we should grow in all things unto Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 reads, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you skip down to verse 15, same chapter, verse 15, we read, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So again, you know, you think about the fact that we certainly all have this responsibility to continue to grow and to continue to mature in Christ to that perfect level. Let's turn over back over to 1 Peter here. And now we're going to go a little bit further. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. And can I get a volunteer for those verses?
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Okay, thank you. And again, when you begin to look at these verses, keep in mind again that, you know, as Peter wrote this epistle here, he's addressing these Christians who were scattered throughout Asia Minor. And again, these Christians possessed a wide variety of maturity in Christ. Now, the Greek word itself for rid yourself is a word that actually means to put off one's clothing. The first verse here indicates that disciples of Christ are to rid themselves of those things that would defile us in this world. Verse 1 indicates that we're to rid ourselves or strip off malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of all kinds. And think about all of these behaviors. When you think about all of these behaviors that can actually defile us and are certainly not the behaviors that you would think about when you're thinking about a Christian. I want to turn over to Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 4 and verse 22. Again, talking about the fact that we should put off this form of conduct or what we were before we were baptized into the body of Christ. That you put off concerning your form of conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Let's also turn over to Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So again, you know, you think about the fact that, again, we as Christians, once we've been baptized into that body of Christ, we do need to start growing. And the simple fact is, you know, part of this growth is certainly putting away sin. As we go back over to 1 Peter here, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to take a look at verse 2 here. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we are looking at verse 2 here. It tells us, instead, like a newborn, and if you think about this, a newborn does crave milk for sure. We as Christians should also crave the pure milk of God's word. And you think about it, even as Peter wrote this epistle, all of to these Christians throughout Asia Minor here, all of these Christians, and even us today, we should crave, you know, the pure milk of God's word. So when you consider this word crave itself, and the Greek word for it means to long for, it means to desire, to yearn for. So we as Christians are to desire, we're to long for the word of God. And just to kind of make sure that I'm actually doing justice to this word, because this word itself is actually a pretty strong word. And just me reading a definition to it is one thing. But, you know, if you consider yourself in a desert, and I can actually think back to my time over in Iraq. And simple fact is, there were days 130 degrees, you know, it's nothing. That's an average day. And the simple fact is, if you're out there, and if you are out there and consider yourself being stranded, no water, no food, you know, you can almost get this feeling. These are things that you certainly need, not only for life, but again, to continue to grow. And if you think about, if you're out there for such a long period of time, you'll get to this point where you begin to literally pray for water because you know you need it. It's absolutely necessary for life. It's an essential thing for life. Food itself is essential for life. And if you think about this concept that this is something that is actually essential for growth, this is what the word of God is for Christians. It is absolutely necessary. It's essential. So if we're not literally craving, we're not craving that pure milk of the word of God, then again, you know, think about where we really are. And this is not something that we're truly longing for. We're truly desiring in our lives. If a disciple of Christ is to grow, again, it is an absolute necessity that they desire the pure word of God. And think about growth itself. Certainly in order for a newborn to grow, that newborn is constantly fed throughout the day and is fed daily. Think about the concept of that. How many of us will actually feed a newborn sporadically? Just feed them today and maybe 2 or 3 days down the road to feed them again. We're probably not going to do that. So you want to make sure it's not an uninterrupted period of time. You want to make sure that that newborn is actually constantly fed. Again, think about we as Christians. We need to be constantly fed in the Word of God. And think about what happens. What happens to us when we actually, you know, maybe we'll study the Word of God a little bit today, but then we'll probably take a little break for about 2 or 3 months, come back to it. Think about it. We're not making it anywhere. And the simple fact is, just like this newborn, we ourselves also need to be constantly feeding upon the Word of God. We need to constantly open up the Word. And then, of course, not only opening up the Word of God, but also living the Word of God in our lives and actually adhering to the Word of God. Again, think about our continual growth in Christ. And again, if we are to grow spiritually in Christ, we too need to feed off the pure milk of the Word. And this growth certainly comes as we study the Word day by day and as we live the Word day by day. Think about whether or not we can reach maturity without feeding on the Word of God. And think about it in our lives today, some of those areas. Think about some of those areas we can actually grow in. Think about faith itself. You know, we can certainly all grow in our faith. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians. And we'll take a look at chapter 1 and verse 3. That one verse reads, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other." And even over in, I think it was Luke chapter 17. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. And even in this one verse, we read, "And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith." And the point that I want to make here is, again, you know, you think about it, you know, in order for us to continue to grow, again, not only must we certainly crave that pure milk of God's word, but you think about it, even with our faith itself, what happens? What happens to us, again, if we're not faithful enough to study the Word of God? And if we stop studying the Word of God, what happens to our faith at that point? You know, are we growing in faith? Are we increasing in faith, or are we decreasing? Or are we just kind of holding still and then stagnant? Think about knowledge of God. This is something else that we can certainly find ourselves increasing in or decreasing. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll take a look at verses 9 through 10. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And can I get a volunteer for those verses?
Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay, thank you. And let's also turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. And that verse reads, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be base, but in understanding be mature. And again, the point that I wanted to make here is, you know, again, if we're craving that pure milk of God's word, we're craving the word, if we're longing for it, and we're truly taking advantage of those opportunities, and there's no doubt that our knowledge and who God is and what he wants for us in life, you know, we would definitely understand those things for sure. As well as finding ourselves actually doing the work that he's put us here for. And lastly, let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And again, as Peter was writing to these Christians in Asia Minor, this last verse reads, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. And again, you know, think about this concept of craving the word of God and being willing and receptive to actually studying the word of God and growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Another area that we can find ourselves growing in, especially if we're craving the word of God, is love. One of these fruits of the Spirit. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. That verse reads, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And I want to take a look also over in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And that verse reads, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. And again, you know, the point that I wanted to make here is, you know, if we're studying the word of God and we're truly taking in the word of God, and certainly, you know, this is another area of our life that we will see increase. Another area for sure would be our opportunities to bear fruit. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body nourishes and knit together by joints and ligament, grows with the increase that is from God. Let's also take a look at John chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. In those verses, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And in talking about this, I actually want to turn over to Matthew chapter 13, where we see the parable of the sower. And you think about the various parts that we will have the opportunity to read about in this particular parable here. And of course, out of all those hearts, we see there's really only one heart that actually bears fruit. And I want to read that very quickly here. Matthew chapter 13 and We'll start with verse 3 here. We'll go through 9. Can I get a volunteer to read those verses? Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 9.
And he spoke many things to them in parable, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, for they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, and some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
All right, thank you. Now let's go down to verses 18 through 23 here. So Jesus actually provides an explanation for this particular parable. Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on the stony place, this is he who immediately hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And again, the point that I wanted to make here is simply, you know, you think about these various hearts, the various reactions to the word of God, and think about the fact that either one of us in here today could easily be one of these three different hearts. We could easily be one of these three different hearts. Now consider only one of these hearts, that being the good soil there, actually bears fruit. And again, think about what it takes to actually bear fruit, and the fact that certainly part of that is our willingness and wanting to study and learn the word of God and to, again, crave the word of God. Think about the fact that our craving should be for the pure milk of the word. And this basically indicates the fact that the word itself is not mixed. It's not mixed with anything. It's pure. It's unadulterated. And we're going to flip back over to 1 Peter chapter 2 here. Verse 2 read, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So again, you know, think about the fact that the word itself is not mixed. It should be pure. Consider today how many mix other aspects into the word of God. And of course, we see this with numerous denominations. Consider the various denominations and the add-ons that have been incorporated into their worship. Some add recreation, some add man-made teachings. And the simple fact is, think about this distortion to the word of God. The entire concept here is that we grow into maturity. And God's word will certainly feed and nourish us with intent of growing more and more into his image. And if you think about it, this is what we should want to do anyway, is grow into the image of God, you know. Our Lord and Savior provided this perfect example for us, for each and every one of us to mimic, to emulate. And again, you know, you think about this opportunity to do so, and really the only way we really can do this, again, is by studying the Word of God, learning more and more about our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Psalm 19 and verse 8 here. Psalm 19 and verse 8. That verse tells us, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Let's also turn over to Psalm 119 and 105. Psalm 119 and 105. In that one verse, we read, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And lastly, let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And the point that I really wanted to make here is, again, that, you know, God's word is truly pure. It's not mixed with anything else. If it's mixed, it's because we as mankind have done so. So the word of God is truly pure, and it is needed in order for us to grow into full maturity. Now, in saying all of that, as we kind of reflect back on 1 Peter here, I want you to consider what the reaction of a parent would be if you had a newborn and that newborn failed to grow. What would your reaction be? Think about what your reaction would be in that particular situation. If that newborn was not growing, he would probably be somewhat distressful. Think about how our Lord and Savior, how our Father in heaven, what they would think about those individuals, we as Christians. If we're sitting here and we're failing to grow and we're not growing at all, and we're content with just being stagnant and just staying in the exact same place. Think about what our Father in heaven reaction would be. Think about what our Lord and Savior reaction would be, considering all that he has done for us. And the fact is, that new life began when we were baptized into the body of Christ. And while we started off with spiritual milk, we certainly started off with spiritual milk, but the simple fact is, we are to grow and we should mature into something a little heavier. And the fact is, we're not meant to stay with just that spiritual milk. So again, we should mature and develop in Christ. And this kind of leads us to some of our other points here around. Let's turn over to, well, actually, we just read that verse. So as a child of God, certainly, again, we should all want to grow, especially if we know that God is truly good and gracious. And we'll go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 here in verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. In that verse we read, if indeed you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. And again, you think about everything that we read here in verse 1 and verse 2, how we, like newborns, should crave pure milk of the word. And then in verse 3, you know, we read, if indeed you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. And think about this. Consider all that God has done for us. And just take a look at your life and consider all that God has done for us. Think of all the blessings that we currently have. Think about this gift of eternal life that he has provided for his children. Think about the love that God has had for all of mankind and the fact that he was sent our Lord and Savior and his son to this earth to die for our sins. And again, the point that I want to make here is think about how good and gracious God truly is. God is truly good. He is truly gracious. And sometimes we tend to take all of these things for granted. And we really don't focus on these things. And if God is truly this good and he's truly this gracious, then we should want to grow and develop in the Lord. And we should want to learn more and more about him. And we should crave again for that pure milk of the word. These are things that we should absolutely want. It shouldn't be a hassle to want to do these things. These are things that we should yearn for, we should long for. And again, you know, sometimes we fail to consider truly how gracious and how good God truly is to us. Consider, again, this fact that if we really thought about how good God is to us, then, again, we will want to grow in Christ. And certainly we will want to glorify him through our efforts of studying his word, being more Christ-like, and again, sharing the word of God and doing his work throughout this world here. Okay. Yes, sir.
I was just thinking about what you just said there and the image here of the food tasting good. If there's something wrong with our appreciation for the word, it's not a problem with the word. Right. It's a problem with our taste buds, the way we are processing or ingesting that. It's not a problem with the word. It's our problem. And we live in a world that doesn't want to accept that kind of responsibility, but that's just the plain fact of it. And so if we ingest the word and we take in the word and we truly look at it and examine it and taste it as it is presented, then we will have that proper appreciation, but also that longing that he talks about here so that we can't get enough of it.
Right.
And then that spurs that continuous relationship in that appetite we have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Appreciate it. And this is actually going to lead us to our next portion here. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. And we're going to start from verse 11 here. Hebrews chapter 5, starting with verse 11. And we read, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And we're going to continue. We'll continue with the next few verses here in chapter 6 as well. So Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So when you begin to look at some of these verses here, we'll go back and take a look at verse 11. You know, I think one of the things that automatically sticks out to me here is you know, where the writer, the Hebrew writer says, you know, we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And, you know, you think about it sometimes, we can become dull of hearing, you know, and not necessarily trying to comprehend or wanting to comprehend what the word actually tells us. Let's turn over to John chapter 8 and verse 43. John chapter 8 and verse 43 tells us, Jesus says, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. And as you go on, he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Let's also turn over to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4 there. And that one verse reads, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Let's also take a look over in Acts chapter 28 and verse 27 here. Well, actually, we'll start with verse 26 here. Saying, go to this people and saying, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes, they are closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. And again, the point that I wanted to make here is simply sometimes, you know, we don't take the time or the effort to try to understand the word of God. If we go back over to Hebrews chapter 5 here. And in verse 12, again, that verse reads, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. And you have not come to need milk. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. And certainly we can understand that concept. You know, you think about this process of, again, not growing. And I mean, literally staying in the exact same place. And you're stagnant. And you're content with it. And knowing, again, the simple fact is, if we are reading the word of God, we would certainly know that this is not God's desire for us. God wants us to know about him. And certainly, if we are to do the work of God, you know, you think about trying to do the work of God, but yet never taking the time to actually study the word of God and never taking the time to grow in Christ. You know, it's kind of hard to actually go out there and be an effective teacher of the word or preacher of the word, especially if we're not doing these things. And again, you know, you think about some of those other areas that we talked about in regards to areas for growth, you know, whether it's growing in love, whether it's growing in knowledge of God, you know, we can't do any of these things, again, if we're not taking the time out to actually study the word of God and being effective. I mean, literally taking the time to study the word of God to be an effective worker in his kingdom. I want to take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2. And those verses read, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able." And this is Paul writing to these Corinthians here. Let's also take a look at chapter 14 and verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 20. And we read this before. "Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. But in understanding, be mature." And again, he's encouraging these Corinthians to grow up in Christ, to develop, to mature in Christ. And lastly, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. We'll stop at this one particular verse here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. "That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." So again, you know, it's real easy to get carried away with different thought processes. And you think about when someone tells you something, if you're not studying the Word of God to truly understand what's true and what's not true, then you're more than likely, it's real easy to fall for something if you're not studying what the actual truth is. So again, you know, the point that I wanted to make here is, in order for us to truly, again, mature and develop in Christ, we must certainly study the Word and continue to grow in that Word. I'm going to stop here for today and ask, are there any questions or comments or anything? All right, we'll continue in lesson number 5 next week, and thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Appreciate everyone being out. Certainly appreciate Harold and Willie. Myself trying to hold down this side of the building. We're tilted. The people on Zoom don't know, but you're on the left side. So is everybody else. We are grateful that everybody has come out this evening to study the Word of God. It shows your desire and your understanding of the importance of growing spiritually and understanding more and more. The Bible is quite rich. Every time I go and read it, there's something else, a different connection I make, even if it's a verse that I have read thousands of times. Experience that you have in your life or other verses you may have read, you're able to connect things more and more as you go through. There's never an opportunity to learn something when we study the Bible. So we appreciate everybody coming out for that. My mother, Carol Earnhardt, is in Atlanta. She will be there for a couple of weeks visiting my sister, so she will be away from us. We do want to remember those that are continuing to struggle or recovering in different ways. Remember Bill Talbert and Kenny Owens, Sherry Deese with her cancer diagnosis and things she's going through. Edith Bergerbile, who is shut in, lives over in Columbia, but that certainly keeps up with us and what is going on here. You want to remember Bob Riggs. He's got his knee surgery scheduled for April. So let's pray that that is able to come to fruition and is able to improve his mobility with that. Sandra Myers, Margaret Reyes, his niece, she's going through cancer again. So let's continue to pray for her and pray for Margaret and Henry as they don't have Becky Bishop here with us this evening. She is under the weather, not feeling well, and so She's not out with us this evening. Also, Chris and Colin Adams both have head colds. Chris stressed to me it wasn't anything to do with COVID. It truly is just a head cold. But let's pray for them that they will be healed as soon as possible. We've always got opportunities to serve. The men's schedule's in the back, the cleaning schedule. You don't see something back there that you want to sign up for. Let one of the men know, and we can find some way to put your talents to use. So let's be about doing the work of the Lord here in this life. There's the March daily Bible reading schedule in the back. If you haven't been following along, we're only 10 days into March, so you can hopefully quickly catch up where we're at. And remember to call the 1-800 number. I know it slips our minds sometimes. I'm certainly guilty of it. But if you have it, take a card, put it somewhere you'll see it, the refrigerator in my case, that I will see it a lot, or put it in the dashboard of your car, or put it somewhere else on your desk at work, put some in your pocket. You can hand those out to people and let them know that a couple minutes of their time, it certainly would be profitable for their soul to listen to that. This evening, we're going to be led in our songs by Brother Brent Bishop. Our invitation will be worded for us by Brother Willie Watts, and Brother Gary Bishop will lead us in our closing prayer.
Please turn in your songbooks to number 460. Number 460. And while you're turning there, I do want to add one more announcement, and that is a friend of mine and my family's, Randy Harshbarger in Nacogdoches, Texas, is sick with COVID. He's in the hospital. As he is holding steady right now, but they do have him on oxygen. So there is still, it is still something to be careful of. We want to continue to make sure we are taking care of ourselves and each other, and making sure we can continue to worship God and do that safely. So let's please do pray for him and his family, as well as all we know who are dealing with sickness right now. For 460, the world's Bible.
Christ has no hands but our help to do his work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead him in his way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how.
Songbooks, number 498. Number 498. Where he leads, I will follow. That'll be the song of encouragement and invitation. at the end of the lesson.
I know we've all heard this before, but we're going to hear it again. In Mark 16:16, that he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Well, I read this. I think about when Ken was talking to a relative of his as a school teacher. And he asked her, what does the word and mean? She said it was a coordinated conjunction, meaning to both things on each side is equally as important. And he told her, read that. But she read it, but, well, I can't believe that. Well, that's what it says. But one coming, you can't believe it, you know. But also, look in because a lot of denominations believe that you're already saved just by believing. And also, they put off baptism days and weeks at a time. So baptism is more of an expression of you've been saved already. But if we look at Acts 22 and verse 16, that's where you're talking about. Paul said, and now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And that's doing, talking about right then, you know, not waiting. Then we go to Acts 22 and 16. Oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. 16 and 33. It says, he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Another case right there was them being baptized right away, not putting off baptism. And also in Acts 8, starting in verse 36, and now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. So right there, another case, being baptized right away, not putting off baptism. And also in Acts 2, starting in verse 36, that therefore, that all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God has called. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted him, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were saved, added to them. And they continually steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayer. And that tells right there that baptism is important, it's essential. And they don't put it off. They do it right away. So if your life is not right, you'd have that opportunity to be baptized tonight. Make your life right. And if there's anyone who needs to repent, you got that same opportunity to do so. So we stand the same at the hymn of invitation.
We are the promises, kind is the word. Dearer Lord than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Well, It's a fire, it's a fire, oh Jesus, every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus has shown. Sweeter far than any love mortals have known. I to the erring one faithfully see. He the great example is and pattern for me. When he leads our father, it's a follow Jesus every day. Lift to his loving word, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and not so secure. Where he leads a father, follow all the way. Where he leads a father, follow Jesus every day.
Thank each and every one of you for being out this evening, for participating with us online and in class. We appreciate each of you. It's encouraging to see you and to be able to have studied God's word with you and to have worshiped him in spirit and in truth. Good to see Harold with us, as well as each and every one of you. Certainly, well, glad to have him with us tonight. Look forward to the next opportunity, Lord willing, we'll be able to gather together. It'll be Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. Let's make our plans to be here. Don't forget to set your clocks forward Saturday night, Sunday morning, so that you'll be here on time, and we can all look forward to that opportunity. Certainly remember the sick and those who are spiritually weak and having difficulties in this life. Let's check on them, see what we can do to help them alleviate, and certainly be prayerful for them.